in the morning too, another student was trying to get in, and the police attacked the student, pushed him to the ground, hit him while he was in the ground, and then arrest him. That happened 2 days. Yesterday, happened again with artists that wanted to get food inside the university, acting singers, famous Puerto Rican singers. They didn't allow them to get food, and they had to throw it over the fences in order to get the water inside the university. There's a law that don't allow any food or water to get in, according to a judge. So right now the situation is tense outside. We have more food than ever. That's important to people to know. We have creative ways to get food and water inside. And the solidarity of the people is so impressed that now we have food like for 2 weeks. So even there you see the picture. No matter the police, what try the police, we know that we're going to continue the strike and that we're going to win the strike. We have the whole country in our side. We have the right to do this, and we are defending only public education, public university. That's not a crime. One of our slogans is that we are students, we're not making crimes, you know? So...
Christopher Powers, the support of unions, can you talk about that, the AFL-CIO?
Yes, well, there's a general strike called for tomorrow. This strike was called both by the coalition of unions, which includes the Change to Win, the Federation of Workers of Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rican Workers Union, representing a broad variety of the union groups and leaders. It's also being called for by all of Puerto Rico for Puerto Rico. The spokesperson, Juan Vera, the Methodist bishop, called for massive support, and all of the members of this coalition of community and religious groups known for their involvement in the Free Vieques movement to participate in the strike. And as I mentioned earlier, also the staff union of the university has gone on strike for the entire week and closed down the central administration facilities as well as auxiliary facilities. So the union support for the students is massive.
This is hardly getting attention on the mainland. Can you talk about that lack of press coverage?
Well, I suppose one could relate that to to the colonial status of Puerto Rico. This is really, I think, in my opinion, a very important struggle. You know, the University of Puerto Rico is more important for Puerto Rico than, say, public universities in the states are for their states. And so what is happening now is that the students are defending the right to a quality public education, that they are staying firm in the face of the attack on the integrity of the institution, the restriction of access for working class students. And there are really serving as a model, as Eduardo Galeano wrote in a message of support to the students. He says that they are showing the shining path towards the future, while the rest of the world gets used to what is already there.
Christopher Powers, will have to leave it there. Professor at the University of Puerto Rico, Giovanni Roberto, one of the student leaders of the strike, speaking to us from inside the campus that they are occupying tomorrow. A major strike crawled across Puerto Rico, and of course we will cover it. This is Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Shrufat Okudu, Sarah Mata, Anjali Kamat, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Mike DeFilippo, Peter Curries, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Karen Renucci, Nick Gillick, Hugh Grant, Jessel Noor, Vesta Gadars. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on? It's DJ Ev with your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, May 18th. Public Image Limited at Terminal 5, and at Webster Hall, it's Mumford & Sons. Wednesday the 19th, Public Image Limited back at Terminal 5. Thursday the 20th, Josh Ritter, Town Hall, Butch Walker and the Black Widows, Webster Hall, Madison Square Garden, it's Pearl Jam with special guest, the Black Keys. There's an open mic night going on with Tom Groney at 9:30 at Sage Cafe. And at the Gramercy Theater, doors 7, Primal Fear along with Dez Demon. Friday the 21st, Leo Kottke, Bolton Center, Killing Joke at the Fillmore, New York, Irving Plaza. And it's Don Rickles and Joan Rivers, the first of two nights at Theater at Westbury. Buskin and Bateau, 8 p.m., Our Times Coffee House. Also at 8 at the Knitting Factory, Brooklyn, in the main space, Cannot Presents, Visa with Poi, Outer National, and Smack Diablo. Pearl Jam are back at Madison Square Garden. This time, it's along with Band of Horses. WUSB's own Ahmad Ali, 8 p.m., Athens Grill. At Europa, it's Sonic Boom 6, UK, Knockout, 45 Panthers. And at the Jalopy Theater, it's the Brooklyn Folk Festival. It's going on May 21st through the 23rd. Saturday the 22nd, U Cafe, 7:30 right here on campus. Bob Dylan birthday celebration with the Kennedys, Rod McDonald, Russ Seeger, Rob Stein, and others. Don Rickles and Joan Rivers back at Theater Westbury. Rosewood Ghosts, album release party, 7:30, Sullivan Hall. Nurse Diesel at O'Reilly's. At Overlook Beach at 1, it's Long Island Southern Jam with Marshall Tucker Band, Outlaws, Molly Hatchet, Blackberry Smoke, and Chris Hicks Band. LCD Sound System, their first night at Terminal 5. Sonny Landreth at the Bolton Center. And at the Jamesport Winery, it's T-Bone and Franny May. Concert for Peace, Veterans for Peace fundraiser with George Mann and Funk Applied. Lulu's, 7 p.m. Jalopy Theater, the second day of the Brooklyn Folk Festival. Sunday the 23rd, LCD Sound System back at Terminal 5. Brooklyn Folk Festival still going strong. Wayne Hancock, Honky Tonky Barbecue going on at the Public Assembly back room. And Claudia Nostrin, New Age Jazz from 11 to 2 at Jamesport Winery. And if you're a local venue, band, or promoter and you want to get your gig listed on the concert billboard, send an email to scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And as always, thanks for listening to the Concert Billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. Can I fade this down now? Kyle, can I fade this down?
Yeah, go right ahead.
But, you know, I just realized, because you told me that you really liked this part of the music and you wanted to listen to it, but I just realized, you know, we don't have to play it now. We can play it later, you know, after the show. We can listen to the CD as much as we want. We have to make the whole radio audience listen to this part.
Because, I'm sure there's people out there that like
you
it.
You want to hear it, you know. It's, I'm not saying it's inconsiderate or anything like that. It's just, you know, the radio station is here to reach people, not just to listen to the music that we want to listen to. I'd like to hear some music too, actually. Something, but you know, I can do that later. You don't have to do it over the radio show, unless it's part of the radio show. And it is part of the radio show, but we're supposed to be speaking over this part of the intro. It's 11 minutes long, after all. In fact, tonight our outro is 11 minutes long too. We could just do a mini show with music surrounding it, and many people have requested that. But maybe later. Maybe not tonight. But we will try to take phone calls, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. If you have any words to send our way, because we haven't taken phone calls in a while. Kyle and I have been traveling. We've done recorded shows. We're going to be doing more recorded shows. And last week we were sort of just going over some airplane facts and figures and other interesting things. Gotten quite a bit of mail. Maybe we'll read some of it later on. But if you'd like to talk to us directly, well, in a little while, we'll take some phone calls, 631-632-9872. No sooner did we get back from the former Yugoslavia than we took off again. And this time to go to the site of where at least one of the Balkan Wars was brought to an end through treaties, and that was Dayton, where the Dayton Accord was put together. We didn't go there so much to mark that occasion, but for the Dayton Hamvention. That's an annual event of ham radio people, people selling all kinds of equipment and documentation and just various other things that ham radio type people, of which I don't really consider myself to be one. But people who are into technology in general, this appeals to them. And Kyle, this was your first visit to the Dayton Hamvention, correct?
Yes, my first visit to the Dayton Hamvention.
Your first visit to Ohio.
Yeah, I'd never been to Ohio before.
Uh-huh. So a lot of new experiences. Well, first of all, the whole ham radio thing, was it sort of what you expected or different?
Yeah, it was what I expected and a whole lot more.
Uh-huh.
Intense interest in all of the technical aspects of, you know, what it takes to broadcast on amateur bands and, you know, antennas, large and small, and radios and all kinds of equipment. And
yeah, you know, you have people of all ages walking around this massive parking lot in Dayton, Ohio. That once a year for 3 days is devoted to the trading of equipment and all sorts of other things, antennas, as you say, radios. But it's not just restricted to ham radio equipment. You can get all kinds of things. You bought a telephone.
I did. I bought a telephone for
What kind of telephone did you buy?
This is a Model 500 Bell Western Electric phone.
It's a regular dial telephone.
Yes, with a rotary dial.
The kind that your grandmother might have had. A single line black phone.
Yeah.
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 And how much, round it off, how much did you pay for this?
Well,
this antique, this relic of the past,
this
vital piece of America's history. How much did that set you back?
The asking price was five. $5.
$5?
Yes.
$5. $5.
Yes. And I only had three ones. And I indicated that, and he said, for $3, it's yours.
$3 you were able to get an old phone. Well, I mean, you know, that's cool, because that phone will have better sound quality, I guarantee you, than anybody who calls us today, because most people who call us today are dialing in, and not dialing either, but calling in on either a cell phone or really crappy headset that belongs to some cheapo phone system. It just doesn't sound the same. But you've got a Western Electric solid metal phone there that can really hurt somebody if you hit them with it.
Yeah, and it has bells, and it rings with bells, even if you
real
slam
bells.
It.
Yeah, I was doing that. In fact, we drove the 2600 van out there. We'll get into that drive in a moment. But we drove it all the way out there and set up in a couple of parking spaces in that parking lot, put a table in front of it. And when you bought your phone, you put your phone proudly on the table. And the first thing I did was pick up the receiver and slam it down as hard as I could, because there's no better feeling than slamming a phone down on the receiver. And, you know, nothing breaks. You might hurt some feelings on the other end when you do that, but you just hear this this reverberating bell sound as the real bell inside echoes. And it's just this incredible feeling of satisfaction. You can't do that with phones today. You have to look for the off button and press it and try to look angry, but it doesn't come across on the phone.
You raise a really good point. I mean, these phones are really sturdy and heavy and made of solid, you know, solid parts. They're interchangeable. You can repair them and all kinds of things like that. And the one word that comes to mind when you say, you know, these kinds of handsets that people are using with the headsets and all that, the word that comes to mind is dainty. You can't hang up angrily without doing some sort of dainty touch of a button, or, you know, real some sweet gesture on your touch screen. You can't slam a handset or a cell phone. So, yeah, you raised a really good point, and that was quite fun.
You can slam a cell phone, but you'll break it if you try. I've done that. I've gotten really angry and thrown it down on the ground. And I live to regret that, because they don't recover from that very, very well.
Mm-mm. No, they don't.
But, you know, a genuine – if anyone out there has never had this kind of a phone, what you need to do is go out to a garage sale somewhere and find some crusty old guy who's getting rid of an old phone that he's had in his family for many decades. Rotary dial is best, and you'll see. You'll see just how solid it is. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the number of young people these days who are into this, who appreciate this, who get what telephony is and was about. Now, we met a whole bunch of old telephone guys that would come up to the van and say, oh, the hackers are here, and explain what their interpretation of phone freaking was all about. What do you think of those guys?
It was really, really cool. They would, you know, different guys from all ends of the spectrum. Some would just pass by and say, yeah, we know what 2600 is. And, you know, they had some idea that it was sort of ominous the way they'd pass by, and they wouldn't even stop, you know, because they had it all figured out. And I, you know, but some of the other guys were really kind. A lot of the older guys, you know, would come up and talk for quite a long time and talk to us and explain how the in-band signaling worked and the genesis of the 2600 hertz tone. Other people would talk and just say, hey, you know, we support what you guys are doing here. I wanted to buy this. Hey, you know, I just stopping through. Yeah, I worked for such and such this long a time, you know, doing repair, doing this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, love your work, keep it up, and then they'd be off. And so it was just this huge spectrum. And same thing with the regular hams, except the hams, I think, were a little more noticeable because they all have antennas and radios squawking people talking through them and all kinds of things. They're just, you know, very, very different, I'd say, than some of the older...
You know, I told you, I warned you about these guys, that you see people coming at you with antennas literally on top of their heads. They wear these helmets and there's an antenna mounted right on their head, and they're walking around talking to their friends. You know, I don't know where their friends are. They could be all over the world, I guess, with an antenna that size. And that's a typical kind of geekiness you might see.
Another thing.
Go ahead.
Another thing I wanted to mention is the call signs. It's very similar to what you see in the hacking community is handles and stuff. They all wear their call signs very proudly, and they'll have them embroidered on shirts and on hats and on their carts that they're picking up gear with, so you know exactly how to address them when you're on the radio. And I think that was very interesting. It was very cool. There's actually a lady set up doing custom embroidery there. She had a very fancy embroidering sewing machine, and as a service for the event, she was doing custom embroidering. So if you got your ham license, you could put your call sign on a shirt and instantly wear it proudly in your newfound community.
Yes, it was an event. It was really an event. However, I just got passed a note. Actually, on the computer, I got passed this information. By the way, I was you might have heard this noise. I was hear this. This is really very, very loud. And the reason, your microphone, if you look at your microphone, it's mounted onto the desk here.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
The mouse is on the same desk. So every time I move the mouse.
Could you stop?
With the microphone.
Please.
On. No, I'm demonstrating this.
You've demonstrated enough. This is my microphone.
Set up the system this way. I mean, this is incredibly loud and annoying. You can't have the mouse on the same platform as where the microphone is mounted. Otherwise, you're going to be getting that noise every time I just click on something. So anyway, this inter-office memo here, and I was told that the dancers are here. They have to catch a train, and we have to get this over with quickly. And there's a lot going on. If you call last time, it didn't go so well. So we have to just move fast. So all right, they've already started. Let's intro the piece. It's been a while. This is the quest for Starbucks. Basically, for those who haven't been paying attention. I've never been to Starbucks, and I've decided I'm ready, and I've been selecting various... I haven't selected anything. We've been randomizing things, and hopefully, by the time the year is up, we'll have selected one Starbucks out of over 10,000. Okay, now please, everyone stand back, because last time, someone got a square in the head with the dancers with their high heels. They're amazing. Kyle, you've never seen them before, but when we were traveling, if you notice the traditional dress they have, it's very similar to what we saw in parts of... hold on, this is the flourish. Hold on. Okay, can I open my eyes? Okay. No, I was really afraid because last time, if you recall, the drummer got it right in the head. And in fact, he's still out. He's not going to be in today.
No, he's not back.
No, he's not. And hopefully the legal issues are resolved now, because that was also kind of unpleasant. I don't want to get into that over the air. So we don't have him, but we do have them. They're here. But if you notice, I just want to point this out quickly. I know you have a train to catch, we saw in several places in Serbia, I believe, in
yes.
Bosnia, people dressed up in native garb. They weren't doing the high foot in the air type thing like they do here, but the expressions I think were pretty much the same. And just the pride.
I like the decorated shirts and some of the tassels coming off the shoulders.
Isn't
I like
nice?
I recognize that. Yeah, it's
Isn't
really
something?
Really something.
Those little embroidery things they've got going there.
It must be a show of wealth and that they're of this art class. I mean, they're very very opulent looking. It's sort
very,
of a show of
very
the culture
proud and broad shoulders and kind of thing going on. Okay, anyway, okay, getting glared out. I'm not sure if it's because of that remark or because they're in a hurry, but okay, we don't have the Kyle. Can you make kind of a drumming noise or something? Because the drummer's not here. We're in a different studio. We're protected by glass, so we don't have to worry about the feet. But
try.
Can you try something?
I'll do my best.
All right, I'm going to hit the button here, and we're going to. Randomize. I'll give you a countdown, all right?
Okay.
What you're going to come up with is going to be interesting. 3, 2, 1.
Ba-dum.
Okay. All right. That worked. All right. So what we have done now is they're really in a hurry, so let them do their final thing. What we've done is we've cut the number from 256 to 128. And I understand it's already up on the website. Website being thefirststarbucks.com. And if you go there, you'll see the final 128 possible places I could wind up going to my first Starbucks. And the next time we're going to do this is June 8th, and that's when we bring it down to 64. So it's very exciting. It really is. I don't know if you ever witnessed anything quite this exciting, Kyle.
It's riveting. I'm okay. Absolutely blown away by
this. Since they came all the way out really here from Corona, let's just watch the final part of this. Here we go. Okay. All right. Okay. Off they go out the door. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll see you in June. It's nice. It's nice of them to come all the way out here just to do this over the radio. I still don't really get that.
But yeah, you don't see live performance much on radio.
No, and neither do our listeners because it's the radio, and I've tried to explain that to people, but my contract is a contract, I suppose. All right, so here we are. We've got just went to the website, and we have the final 128 of the Starbucks left. And I'm looking here. I don't know. You want to come over here, Kyle, and take a look?
Okay.
Tell me if you see anything particular interest here. You know, your town, Seattle, where you're from, and that, of course, is where Starbucks started. You're down to only one. There's only one possible Starbucks that I could wind up in. And I see three in Sacramento. Look at that. Three in Sacramento, California, two in San Diego, two in Toronto, two in Washington, D.C.,
one in Skokie, Illinois.
Yeah, one in Skokie, Illinois. There's one in New York City. We don't have the addresses in front of us now. There's two in London. Yes.
There's one in Kent. That's in Washington.
Kent, Washington. Yes, but it's not Seattle.
True.
Is it? Seattle. Look at that. Guadalajara, Mexico has three. That is weird.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
And that's one of the ones that we were tracking from the very beginning. And that one really seems to be sticking around. In fact, three of them from the same city. Two in Hong Kong, two in Edmonton, two in Chicago. And those are the only ones with two or more. I see Bristol, England. Looking at the foreign ones, out of curiosity. Chihuahua, Mexico. Dubai in the United Arab Emirates has one. Who else do we have here? As I said, a couple in London. Luzerne, Switzerland. Makati in the Philippines. Manchester, England. Mexico City. Munster. This is a typo. It says Munster, Germanu, but I imagine that's Germany.
yeah,
I'm pretty sure. There's no Germanu I know of. Paris, France has one. Prague in the Czech Republic. Puebla in Mexico.
Did you mention the UAE?
Yes. Was that? Hold on. I got to scroll all the way back up here now. Hear that awful noise? Yeah, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Yeah, we have a friend there, so maybe that will work out. Santa Rosa City in the Philippines. St. Albert in Alberta. Taguig in the Philippines. Taipei, Taiwan. And I think that's it for overseas ones, for ones that – oh, and Vienna, Austria. Vienna, Austria, excuse me. And that's – but all the rest are in the United States someplace. So 128 left. If you go to thefirststarbucks.com, you'll see that. It's getting exciting now. Yeah, I told people at the beginning of the year, yeah, it's really boring and dull when it's still in the tens of thousands or whatever. But now it's down to 128, so you're starting to get a sense as to who the victims are going to be that will see me visit their town to get my first I've actually had Starbucks coffee before, but I mean, to walk through the door, I've never done that. You've saved me a couple of times, haven't you?
I have. On this trip, several times we walked into any number of different types of places, airports, rest stops in the past week actually had Starbucks in them. And I've had to kind of forewarn you and say, look, you can't cross that line. And we've been very good about that. And I've taken on that role.
It's because there are so many damn Starbucks everywhere. You trip over them sometimes.
You're absolutely.
In a truck stop, and
yeah.
All of a sudden, if you go past this particular line on the floor, it's a Starbucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for saving me there. Although, technically, I think I'm in the clear if I don't open a door and walk into a Starbucks. I think that's
right.
Those are the rules. But
you can be in the vicinity.
Yeah.
And all of those places are really interesting. This is getting quite exciting because you're going to have to go and visit them and see
I don't have to visit any more than one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes, yeah. One. But, those are all good places. So it'll be interesting when you get a little closer in the later in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So that's the latest as far as that goes. And you got to see the dancers. I'm very happy about that because you're only here this week, and then you're going back to Seattle.
That's right. I'm going back for a little while, and I've been following it, and I really enjoy the music they play. So it was really an honor to be able to catch them while we were in town.
Many people have. I'm sorry about the no picture policy. I'm not quite sure why that's so strictly enforced. But
I'm getting used to that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when we were traveling, this is something interesting. We were traveling through the former Yugoslavia. The places we were told that we could not take a picture of, the entire many countries we went to. We went to, I think, 10 different countries. The place you could never take a picture of was the American Embassy.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That was the place you could get in a lot of trouble for taking a picture of. Any place else was fine. Any place was fine, but not that.
And we interacted with that. We saw embassies. And I think every country we went to, we located it, as any world-traveling American should, when you go to a new country. We saw old ones. We saw new ones. We saw ones under construction. Everywhere we went, it was very, very widely known that anywhere around the American flag coming from an embassy is verboten from photography.
So. Right. Let's go back to Ohio,
sure.
Out to the Hamvention.
Yes.
The people we met, the things we did. First of all, driving all the way out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you knew what you were getting into.
I can't believe you did that.
I've done that many times before.
I was so amazed. I really am just blown away. I can't believe you had the endurance. I was wondering, have you thought about, Iditarod or triathlon?
That's the dog sled race in
yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. First of all, would I have to be a dog to do that?
Or, no. You just have to know how to mush or say
how
mush
to,
or be a musher.
Okay, well, I know our friend Greg Newby knows something about that over there in Alaska, but...
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know how hard it is to say mush. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it's quite a bit more complicated.
Very detailed letter from him about this.
Yes.
I don't know. If I'm driven by something, if I'm in... And that's not a pun on the van. It's basically if I feel... like I'm into something and I really want to get it done, yeah, I'll devote as much time as possible.
Well, I would like to say your endurance is uncanny because we left at midnight. And
we left at midnight and we left after being up for a full day and also being jet lagged.
Completely jet lagged.
Yeah, coming back, not getting enough sleep for the last several nights and not knowing whether we should be going to sleep or staying up. It's just... It gets very confusing. So on that, we were in Pennsylvania. The way to get there is you drive across New Jersey and then through Pennsylvania, which is the longest state. It really takes forever to get across that state. And then a little bit in West Virginia and then into Ohio. It was shortly after getting into Pennsylvania, realizing how much was left. I just sort of thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I do not see myself actually making it all the way through Pennsylvania and on into Ohio. How am I going to pull this off?
Isn't that amazing?
I had to, because if I didn't get there in time, I couldn't get the van into the space. I mean, there wouldn't be a way to actually be there all weekend long. So it was, a lot of people counting on me. I had to do it.
Right. It's amazing. You get to that point where it's really dark and you have tons of traveling to do ahead of you, and your body's just, it's telling you at every instant, no, you can't do this. But I think we used our time wisely in the dark, and we made that one stop and kind of got out and looked at the stars in a darker part off the highway. That was really cool because we were able to see stars without any sort of light pollution. And then the other stop we made at a rest stop to get a little bit of coffee for you. I think that's what carried us through. And then I tried to stay up as much as possible and be co-pilot and change music and offer you food and, pretzels or something.
Yeah, and just getting into good conversations.
Yeah.
The van is very loud. First of all, the van has no power steering, and it's a stick shift. It's built in 1981, and we have a radio installed in it by way of an FM transmitter that just basically goes to a blaster, and you can hear it if you turn it up loud enough over the roar of the van. The van's very, very loud. With music, with good conversation, and stops occasionally just to rejuvenate oneself. We stopped once just to look at the stars. That was pretty cool.
I really enjoyed that.
That got me in a much better frame of mind. And then there was that one time, there's a stretch where you take, I think it's I-81, and you take that down to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, which is a toll road, I-76. But there's a gap between I-81 and 76 where you drive down this street where every single truck in the world seems to drive down, and all these chain stores and gas stations and things like that. You have to drive about a mile down this road. It's a speed trap, too, 35 miles an hour. Huh? But it was there that I think we pulled over to some gas station somewhere and just hung out for a good 20 minutes, and that was where I got this massive cup of coffee, and I'm not really a coffee drinker, but it does do the job sometimes. I also got these 5-hour energy supplement things that truckers like to use. You saw that, right?
They had a wide array of these type of drinks. They're like little shots of energy.
And it seemed like exactly the thing that I needed, you know, just 5 hours of energy. Yeah, that might get me into Ohio. And I thought, okay, you know what? I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it now. And I got that. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I got that, I felt a burst of energy. Like, you know, I didn't think I was going to even stay awake much longer, let alone be able to drive. But as soon as I got back in the van with that cup of coffee, I had a second wind, a really strong second wind that just propelled me forward. I never even needed those five-hour supplement thing.
Yeah, you didn't take it.
I still have it.
Yeah, you still have it.
Maybe it was fear of what might happen if I took it that kept me from doing that.
Yeah.
But that was a turning point. That was a big turning point for us, and we continued on our way from there. And you know, we made a couple other stops. We stopped in Wheeling, West Virginia.
That was really cool. Yes.
What do you think of Wheeling? We spent actually a couple of hours in Wheeling. We took our time. We wanted to make this not too much of an ordeal. So a couple hours in Wheeling. We went to a nice little coffee shop there, but. What else do you make of that place?
Wheeling was interesting. It had a lot of old buildings and it felt very small town, but there were tall buildings, and it felt sort of, I want to say, like Old West, but not really. I mean, this is West Virginia. But, you know, the big buildings were, you know, still there, like high rises and stuff, but it was so small at the same time. It was an interesting contrast for me. And then the fact that there weren't very many people.
There were no people. The people were, I don't know what it is about Wheeling, West Virginia, but every time I go there, I say, this is a nice place, nice buildings, but where are the people? They're always missing. Right. You want to say they're at work in the daytime, but where are they at night then? You don't see them. They're someplace, but they're not there.
I think they're all in coal mines.
Maybe it's possible, or maybe they just all left. But yeah, old buildings from turn of the century or previous centuries, and it's pretty scenic. It's on a river.
Yeah, it was
a couple
of
bridges going across.
Yeah. The suspension bridge was sort of hairy. We rode across that on the van, and it was made of completely made of wood, mm-hmm. and cables, and seems like it had just sort of been painted over as a form of maintenance. And you know, it sort of said it had lights indicating one car at a time, and that was kind of hairy because we did load up the van pretty well, so. But we made it across that, and we got some food there, and I photographed a little bit and just documented it, and it was interesting just to see the way of life and to see, you know, the modern touches, what, you know, new companies are in there, or you know, what sort of government buildings there are being you know, springing up that look very modern. In stark contrast, these Old West high rises.
There are two things I noticed, and that's that there are two Chase Bank buildings in the place. You know, all these
enormous
buildings, all these failing buildings. Businesses and old shuttered hotels and things like that. Then you have these two big Chase Bank buildings, and you have, as you said, this big government building, this big federal government building. It's not even labeled; just has this this massive glass atrium and modern looking opulence to it. And it's almost like it's rubbing that opulence in your face, because everything around is in need of some kind of repair or at least life of some sort. And here you have this incredibly gaudy structure, and you know that there's all kinds of enforcement behind it, all kinds of muscle behind it. So
yeah,
I can see sort of why people feel resentment at the federal government sometimes, because of the way they sort of plop themselves down. And
One entire side of that building had the eagle seal, you know, like in a pattern.
Uh-huh.
And it was enormous. I mean, like 50 feet tall and glass, three stories of this eagle patterned over and over and over and over and over again. And
in case you forgot.
Yeah.
In case, yeah.
You know, completely unlabeled.
Cameras everywhere.
On every corner of the building, you know, down the sides of it.
And I was afraid to take a picture of that building. I really was.
Coming off of our trip and our knowledge of how embassies work, yeah, same deal. We did not photograph or even think of it.
Amazing. So yeah, that was our trip over to Dayton, and of course, hanging out in Dayton is always fun. So saw friends there, both from Dayton and other parts of the country, and just spent the weekend talking to people walking by the van, educating them. Club Mate, of course, we had the Club Mate with us. In fact, that also got me through a good part of the drive. So
yeah,
a couple of bottles of that. And introduced it to people in the Midwest.
It was a really good event, and I'm so glad I went. And we worked hard. We had a great booth, and we were amongst all these other people, kind of selling their goods and stuff like that. And it was just really, really, really fun, and it went well.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jorge, I think.
Yeah, Jorge.
I don't say it out loud often enough. I'm Jorge. Sorry for all the attention to your name, Jorge, in San Juan, Puerto Rico. But thanks for writing to us. Maybe we should read your too. Yes, I enjoyed the latest Off the Wall, especially the details on what it feels like traveling on the new Airbus A380.
Did you? Wait a minute.
No, we weren't supposed to say that. But no,
oh, my
God. We didn't say that. He said that. And yeah. Plus, we haven't, you might have, but we haven't actually confirmed that that's true. Right, Kyle? I mean, your response might be interpreted as confirmation that we were, in fact, on an Airbus A380.
It's just a bad guess.
Yeah, it's a guess. Anyway, continuing with the letter here. Thanks, Jorge. I know it's been a long trip, but please tell Kyle that whenever he takes time to develop and scan the pictures, please post some of it. I'm sure the listeners would like to take a look at some of the scenery. Plus, I'm really curious to see the pictures with Kyle's retro equipment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was I'm speechless. That's just so cool. The power of radio. Somebody all the way down there... I just can't believe it. What a reaction to have somebody, be eager to see my work. I haven't shot film in a long time, and I'm so young as a photographer that, you know, to be acknowledged and actually have interest, it just shows the reach of your show and the radio in general. So I'm really honored, and yes, we will come up with a way to post these. We really want to work on a good way to show pictures online, and of what we've seen, I think you and I agree that it's not that great. So what we want to do is get everything processed and show it really well.
Yeah, the next person who suggests I use Flickr is going to get a fat lip because I really think their interface is awful. I can't stand it. And I think we can do a lot better.
Make that two.
All right, two fat lips. Dear guys, I loved your delayed broadcast from what I had to infer was an Airbus. All right, another guess. Unless Antonov has a secret passenger plane I have never heard of that has flights into JFK. Antonov.
An Antonov. It's okay. Russian.
All right, well, maybe that's what it was then. Could you fill me in on the sensor details about the airline? It sounds like you guys had a really good time. I would love to try and plan a return trip on NA.
Well done.
I really loved your guys' trip to Europe. Worth 2 to 3 more off the wall, off the hook listens. Thanks so much. Signed, Ryan. Ryan, thank you very much for that that kind letter.
Thank you.
What can we tell him about the secret airplane? The sensor details. Well, you know, it was really nice.
And was it sensor or sensory?
It's not sensor. It was just sort of edited for content. But it was very nice. If we can figure out what it was, if we can figure out how we flew and where we flew from on the largest airline in the world, it really was pretty damn cool. No,
largest plane in the world.
Largest plane in the world, yes, I'm sorry.
There's lots of airlines that are large.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another letter from Sean over in Great Falls, Montana. Just wondering why the secrecy about flying from Paris to New York on Air France at the end of your trip. Okay, first of all, we never said it was Air France, and maybe you heard people talking French in the background, but, you know, that happens everywhere. You can't do anything about that. That's just a fact of life. People do speak French.
Yeah, French is the international language.
Nothing you can do about it. Yeah, so that doesn't prove anything, all right? You don't have anything on us. All right, continuing here. It sounds like a great way to end your travels. I wanted you to know that I'm planning my first trip overseas due to your shows. You have convinced me that you don't have to be rich in order to travel. Your style of traveling is perfect for me, as I do not like having to stick to a rigid schedule. I'm legally blind and travel with a guide dog, so I'm wondering what you'd recommend for our first overseas destination. It needs to be a dog-friendly country with people who are friendly and willing to help with locating destinations. Any input would be greatly appreciated. Well, it's amazing to me that people actually are listening to what we say and making decisions based on that. It's awesome that it's working out that way. And first of all, I know it's going to work out great for Sean traveling with his guide dog to various places. What do you think?
I think that's awesome. I think that it's you know, it takes that's just incredible, because a lot of people don't travel and they make up all these excuses. I hear it all the time, and I could easily have made a laundry list of excuses why I couldn't travel right now. And to hear someone who's legally blind that wants to take their guide dog with them, that's uncanny. That's really, really cool. And I'm so glad that we've inspired him. It's everybody's choice. I mean, if you don't want to travel, don't. I mean, that's fine. But to have someone who's legally blind tell you that, you know, you've inspired them to get out the door and see the world, even if they can't see, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and of course, sight is something that has many definitions. You can see a lot without your eyes, as I'm sure any legally blind person would be able to tell you.
True.
The thing is, traveling in this particular manner, with or without a guide dog, you just need to do a little bit of research in the place you're going. I'm not exactly sure how it works, taking a guide dog. If I know England doesn't have a very good attitude towards bringing pets in.
Yeah, that raises some interesting questions, especially with the airlines. I know from my family's experience with dogs, I don't know specifically with guide dogs, but if you'd be able to bring your guide dog on the plane itself in the cabin, or would you have to crate your dog in a sky kennel and then receive it as a part of baggage claim? That's generally how dogs are transported, is in sky kennels with baggage, and then you receive them after you've gotten off your flight. And any advice, the advice I'd have is just research your destinations. Come, use some of the government sites and other, sites, so that you have a sense of the countries you're going to, and then also get a general idea of where you could stay ahead of time. That was one thing that helped us along the way, as we looked at every single step, what our possibilities were, and booked things in advance, even if it was just a couple days, so that once you were getting someplace, you weren't wandering around looking for a place to stay. And that I think is the biggest thing, is to just have a destination once you get to a new city, especially if you're doing a tour of a bunch of different cities. And that way, your biggest concern when you get there is settling and then getting some food and drink for your dog and yourself. So.
Right, and you have to also remember that dogs are subject to the same problems that people are, as far as traveling, jet lag, things like that, and just a change in climate. I think if you go to the State Department, travel.state.gov, there's info there on how to deal with taking guide dogs overseas and things like that. I do know that many Western European countries are very handicap accessible. You can take dogs on subways, for instance.
Yes.
And very many places in Europe.
That's very true.
Yeah, that's something that that we don't have here.
No, you're absolutely right. In a huge way, a lot of the Western European countries, and even handful of the ones that we visited this last time, were very dog friendly. You would see them walking around in restaurants, walking around on public transportation, and that is verboten here. You do not see that in large cities like New York. I mean, you see dogs, obviously. There's lots and lots of dogs in New York, don't get me wrong, but
right.
On public transportation, using it normal. I mean, the dogs that we would see in Europe very often would be, they knew how to get on and off the train. They knew this train schedules better than we did in some cases. So.
Yeah, and they know how to behave on a train, on a
Absolutely.
Subway. I mean, imagine taking your dog onto a subway and having it just sit down next to another dog that doesn't know.
Right.
No undue sniffing or barking or anything like that.
Yeah,
they behave themselves. It's, it, you know, It's how you're brought up. It's how you're trained. It goes for people as well as animals. It's just the environment that you're in. So it's not a big deal. Things don't have to be a big deal. So while the average person may see a story like this and say, wow, taking a legally blind person going overseas, taking a guide dog with them, that's a lot of work, a lot of things to worry about. It really doesn't have to be. It really doesn't have to be, because there are many ways of dealing with things. And I think we've gotten a lot better at that than we have in the past. So I think that's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
It's certainly a possibility.
Yeah. What else do we want to focus on? Because we're not getting calls, not getting enough calls. So I don't see any. We'll give the number out one more time: 631-632-9872. And we only have a couple of minutes left. And you know, we are trying. We're trying to take these phone calls, and we get a lot of mail. We got a lot of people who want to call that don't listen live.
Yeah, it'd be great to hear from some people this week. You know, we've gotten this great feedback on the trips, and you know, just what we're up to in general. So,
and we're going to have more from the actual locations we went to in future weeks, because we recorded a lot of sound, interviewed people in various hacker spaces, and all kinds of other things as well. So we want to bring that to you in addition. But when we do that, obviously we'll be pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take phone calls. But we're here live now, and Kyle, you're only here for a few more minutes before you're heading back. Well, you're not heading back right away. You'll be on Off the Hook tomorrow as well.
That's right.
But next week you'll be back in Seattle. You must miss Seattle.
You know, I do.
Yeah.
But I want to stay present and stay stay a part of what we're doing and be a part of the conversation out here. Seattle's a great place, but it's a little further away. Things are a little more spread out, but I was getting that when we were dating. It felt, reminded me of the West a little.
All right, you know what? We're going to try and take some phone calls. Let's go into delay. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Lenny K from the Patti Smith Band. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM from Stony Brook.
Okay, we're back after going into delay. And our phone number is 631-632-9872. And let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening. This is Marcel de Jong from the Netherlands.
You're calling from the Netherlands?
Wow. Yes, I'm calling you from the Netherlands.
Cool.
That's what part of the Netherlands are you in?
The southwest, really. Just south of Rotterdam, really.
Awesome.
Good to hear you.
So, what's on your mind tonight?
Well,
first of all, it's an amazing connection you have. It really is a better connection than people who are in the next room.
Yeah, I can hear him great.
Well, this is Skype, so.
Okay, well, Skype works really well in this particular situation.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I'm sorry?
I'm very glad to hear that.
Yes, yes.
Well, in the beginning of the show, you. And, I was really wondering where that music came, who made that music or what it was called.
The music we played at the beginning, the Philip Glass piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Philip Glass piece. That's, I think it's called Boston Blackie, I think is the name of that. But that's our intro, that's our official intro for Off the Wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Any other comments on what we've been talking about or anything?
Well, I'm very curious I'm very curious about the pictures that Kyle made, really.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Thank you. We're definitely going to be to showing them in some capacity or another. I'm really excited to see them. In fact, I have some film to pick up.
Yeah, Kyle used a film camera in addition to a digital camera. I've got pictures too. Anyone's interested in my pictures, I took pictures in addition, a few thousand of them. Yeah, so we just have to figure out the best way to get those pictures out there. But some really fascinating little tidbits of life over in the former Yugoslavia. Let me ask you, caller, have you ever been to that part of Europe?
Not yet, but it's on the wish list, really.
It's really amazing. I can't recommend it highly enough. People are very friendly, and the environment is just so good and healthy. And, of course, they've been through hell in recent decades, but you get the feeling of real feeling of hope here.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to New York this summer.
Are you going to Hope?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Well,
that's wonderful.
Be sure to look us up at Hope. I want to shake your hand and welcome you to New York.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for your interest.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Have a good evening.
All right. Let's take another phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. I can tell you're local.
You're good.
How crappy the phone sounds now.
Yeah, it's a cell phone, and I'm using a Bluetooth. I'm not sure what the link frequency is between the phone and the radio, and the phone and the headpiece. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Right.
But, either way.
What are you doing right now? If you have Bluetooth, you could be doing anything. You could be flying a plane.
Actually, to be honest with you, I've done that. Actually, when I was taking pilot lessons, I've actually done that.
Wow.
That's cool.
I feel like a psychic here. Okay, and is there somebody named Ruth in your life?
Yes. My Starbucks.
Okay, yeah, don't rub it in, all right? I'm going to get there. I'll get to that Starbucks one day. We're down to 128 now, so we know where I'm not going to go.
Well done.
Yeah. So anything else going on? Anything you'd like to ask us?
I'm another one of the people who have been inspired by your traveling. I started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I took a month and a half off from work, and I did all the touristy things. I shouldn't admit that, but I did all the touristy things in Western Europe, you know, France, Germany, England, etc.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's fine. I enjoyed it. But the very first time I did it, I took along my Nikon F5, okay?
Cool.
And I snapped anything that would let me take a picture of it, not thinking of what it was going to cost when I got back to the States.
Oh, to develop the film.
Oy.
Wow.
I pretty much did the whole trip on cash with a couple of instances I'd use a card, okay? But for the most part, when I came back to the States, I didn't have many bills because, once again, I used cash, and then for some things I used the cards. I used, when I got back to the States, I had to go to CVS. I had 47 rolls of film.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Wow.
It was well over $1,000. And that probably is more money than I spent, you know, on the trip in cash. Wait, did I say that right? Yeah. And anything else.
Well, wow. Out of all that, was there at least one good picture?
I made sure there are a lot more than one.
Good. Okay. Well, then, it's not a total washout then, because capturing these memories and preserving them, that's the important thing.
Well, if I screwed up one, I was going to get back on the next plane and go back. It's like when you get off on the subway. You walk over the thing, you get to the next subway, you go the other direction.
Yeah, you just get right back on the horse. That's what you got to do.
If I screwed it up, I was going right back.
All right. Well, that's inspiring. And what year was that?
We're in 2007.
Oh, it's only 3 years ago. Okay.
It wasn't too long ago at all.
The first time I went to Europe was in 89, and I remember the biggest bill that I had to face when I got home was my phone bill, because I made the mistake of making a lot of calling card calls when I was overseas, and boy, phone calls were a lot more expensive back then, and you had the surcharge and everything like that. So, yeah, it really was a huge amount of money, probably more than airfare.
Oh, yeah. Well, last summer, I went to Japan where I met my girlfriend, and I could not find a calling card to help me get back to this, to call back to let people I know I got there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't think of it at the time. I got myself one of those global telephones, and I can use it in Japan.
Well, that's good, yeah, if you can do that. There's always a way, and as our last caller demonstrated through Skype, sometimes it sounds even better than the pay methods.
I heard his connection. I Skype with my girlfriend all the time. Sounds awful, but anyhow, yeah, I Skype with my girlfriend all the time, and his connection was better. He had like an Oprah connection, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I do.
You know, I don't know how she does it, but she always has a good connection. I, for some reason, always get a crappy connection to my house, and I got the Optimum Online, the really fast boost, they call it.
Right.
You know, all that broadband. I don't know what that guy was using, but it sounded great. It sounded like he was sitting in the car next to me.
Yeah, it really did. It was the voice of God. I'm not quite sure how they pull that off, but we're going to find out, and we're going to help people do that as well. Listen, sir, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your call.
Glad to have you guys back, and I'd like to see the pictures from both of you.
Okay, well, thanks. You will. You Good will, night. And you'll see many more.
All right.
Good night.
All right, take care. And that's going to pretty much do it for phone calls tonight. We are pretty much out of time, in fact, and Kyle, I want to say how much fun it's been the last few weeks, whether we were on tape or whether we were here in the studio, and we'll see you next time you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be back, and I'm honored that you enjoyed my company.
All right. We'll be back with more next week. Stay tuned. Finn is up next. Manual for Off the Wall. Good night.
Jazz on the Air. Tune in for it every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. right here on your favorite radio station, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yeah, kids, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. We have a bunch of tickets to give away, plus tons and tons of new music. So stay tuned right here to Finn's Revolution.